Recently, I've had the opportunity to interact with a young woman from Instagram. She had seen one of my posts that was joking about the benefits that men seek when they get married. And one of those benefits was having full access to a set of female equipment that we would be able to have 24-hour opportunities with. Now, Hannah is her name. I think she's obviously a Zoomer because it's like her title or her handle is just figuring myself out 22. And you know, I like the name Hannah. I think it's really, really cute. And I can just imagine Hannah seeing my clip, becoming so enraged, just figuring herself out. She just knew she had found the source of all the evil in the universe. She knew that I was the M word. I was a misogynist. Ooh. And she threw it out there too, man. She said, "You just need to come clean. You're a misogynist." Da, 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 da. And I was like, "Oh my God, Hannah, please." So I could see that she was a young person, you know, and I didn't want to be a dick to her. So I responded, "Hannah, why don't you watch the rest of my video? I think you'll find that it's mostly a joke, it's humorous, and I make some really good points and you might enjoy it." And she quipped back at me with, "You think misogyny is a joke? You think that making fun of women is a joke? You're a misogynist, just own up to it." And she went on and on and on like that for a few minutes. And I just responded with, "Hannah, I think you're making the case for misogyny." And I just left it at that. She says, "Are you calling me a misogynist?" Point made, all right, point made. She's an idiot. Now, she's a young idiot, so you have to cut her some slack. But I found it fascinating the way women love to throw around the M word. They like to call us all misogynists. If we don't agree with everything they say or do, then we are obviously misogynists. That's gotta be it. If we're critical of them in any way, shape, or form, we are misogynists. My God, these poor women are so oppressed. So today, I wanna talk about the use of the word misogynist, how it's completely out of context, and tell you some more stories about little interactions I've had with women lately that will definitely make you laugh. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. Now, if you look up the word misogyny in the dictionary, you're going to find a definition that's very specific and very clear. It says that misogyny is the hatred of, aversion to, or prejudice against women. Now, nothing that I have said or written or talked about in any of my videos would meet that criteria. I have no hatred for women in any way, shape, or form. No prejudice against them. I think they should all have all the rights they want. I think that they should be able to move freely about the planet and just be who they are. My mission is to help men understand exactly what we're dealing with here. Like, these are not like other men. These are not defective men who just have a different set of equipment than we do. Now, these are people who have a whole complete different outlook on life and a different programming going in the door. These people, these women, they have needs and expectations that are different from ours. And if we don't understand that, then it's very easy for us to get into situations that may very well cause us a lot of heartburn and difficulty and other issues in the future. So I would not say I'm a misogynist. In fact, I think as men, we need to start reclaiming the word misogyny. You know, like the way black people have claimed the N-word, like you can't say that, you know, if you're white. I think that misogynist should probably be a word that if you're not a man, you can't say it. Like that's, you can't use that term. That's not something that you can say. Because first of all, most women don't understand the definition of the word. They get their version out of Wikipedia, which broadens the definition greatly to anything negative said about any woman on any case scenario. I mean, then you're a misogynist. But Wikipedia is written by people with opinions. It's not, you know, it's not objective truth. It's just a, it's an opinion piece. It's an editorial, you know? So Wikipedia is not a good resource for definitions. It really isn't. I mean, if you're writing your you know, your high school thesis paper, then maybe Wikipedia is fine. But if you're going to do anything out there in the world that is expecting to have some impact, well, then you better get your facts right. You better absolutely get your facts right. And Wikipedia is not the place where you're going to find a lot of facts that you can rely upon. So you guys know that I walk the dogs out here in the woods, and during the week, there's not many people around. I mean, sometimes on the weekends, especially on a spring day when the temperature just gets nice for the first time all year, the trails can be a little crowded. But during the middle of the week, like today's a Wednesday, it's like 10 o'clock in the morning, it's a great day to be outside, got the dogs out, they're off their leashes. It gives them a chance to stretch their legs a little bit and have some freedom. But there aren't very many people around, so that's why I feel pretty comfortable letting them off the leash. Plus, my dogs know their names. When I call them, they respond. They're really smart. They're really smart dogs. Anyway, so I'm walking the trails a couple days ago. I think it was on a Monday, or maybe it was last week on a Friday. I was walking on Friday, that's what it was. Again, there's no people around. There's a place along the trail where the backs of some houses get really close to the trail. And in the past, there has been this woman whose house backs up to the trail, and she screams at me whenever she sees my dogs are off leash. And she's got a couple of little rat dogs of her own. They're not rat dogs, they're like little terriers, you know. They're yappy little dogs. They just kind of come at us. They're barking behind the fence, you know. Anyway, I try to ignore her. I have told her to go F herself once or twice, leave me alone, mind her own business, that kind of stuff. But she does not seem to be deterred. She is absolutely, you know, policing my behavior with my dogs, even though it has no influence on hers at all. Anyway, so this week, we're walking by her backyard, and sure enough, there she is, out there in her nightgown, hair up in curlers. Looks like something out of a movie. I mean, she just everything, like your worst nightmare. Like, hopefully there's no man behind this situation, you know what I mean? Because that poor guy, he is suffering. So there she is in her nightgown, hair all up, picking at her garden or whatever, and her little yappy dogs are out there with her. And again, her dogs are at the fence just yapping and yapping and yapping, my dog just ignoring them. And she's yelling at me, telling me how I need to put my dogs on a leash. And lo and behold, she had not locked the gate, and her little yappy dogs pushed it open. And suddenly now her dogs are off leash out in the common area. And there are my three big dogs and her two little dogs yapping their heads off. And my dogs are just standing there looking at them like, what is this all about? What am I going to do with this? You know, like, not really sure what to make of these two little dogs. So to derail the situation, or to take this situation down a notch, I just turned the dogs around and said, okay guys, let's go. So we just started down the path, and her dumb little dogs started chasing us, and she's right behind them screaming for them to come back, screaming at her dogs to come back. And so I stopped, and my dogs all turned around and looked at her dogs and took a step or two forward toward them, and her dogs ran. I mean, they just ran. And then she starts screaming at me again for my dogs being off leash. And I said, look, are my dogs off leash causing your dogs to be so badly behaved? My dogs seem to know their names. Why don't you spend some time training your dogs? And once you get them trained, you can talk to me about whether we should be on or off leash. She was very unhappy with that. She scooped up her little dogs, tried to scoop them up, and then ran inside the house. Anyway, why is it women feel like they have a right to impose their worldview on men? What makes them think that is their God-given right? And I find it fascinating that, like, poor Hannah in the earlier story, you know, she's thinking that she is oppressed as a woman. Like, she is really believing that my comments, my jokes about being married and having sex are in some way oppressing her. You know what I mean? And there's a whole subclass of women who think this way. And I find it fascinating that they go through life day by day with this construct that they see the world through. Like, this is their worldview, is that they are oppressed. And nothing could be further from the truth. In case you guys haven't heard, here in the United States, we have a democratic form of government. Now, I know a lot of you guys want to split hairs with me and say, John, it's a republic. Like, okay, all right. Well, we basically have a set of rules that basically allow us to elect our representatives, and essentially, whoever gets the most votes wins. And so there is a case to be made for majority rules. Now, there are lots of protections for minorities in our Constitution and in our laws, so it's not like we just steamroll minorities, you know. But certainly over the last 50 years, we've done a really good job, I think, of addressing some of the shortcomings in our Constitution so that minorities are not going to get steamrolled. There's a lot of protections. Now, we have a two-party system. And ironically, we have a two-gender system too. It's interesting how that works out. So we have red and blue, you know, Republicans and Democrats, and we have men and women. Now, the wonderful thing about only having two parties is that determining a majority is relatively easy. Whichever party gets the most votes wins. You know what I mean? Like, it's really easy. So if the Republicans have the majority in House and Senate like they do now, it's because they won the most votes in the last elections. It's undisputed. We just know that to be the case. And we can all agree upon it, even though we may not like it. We may not like the way things are going. You know, we just go along with it because that's the way things work. Now, most of you may not know this, but there are more women in the United States than there are men. By a lot, by like around almost 4 million more women than there are men. Which means that women are the majority. You see where I'm going with this? You see? Women are the majority. And what's interestingly, even more interesting than that, is that they make up the vast majority of voters. So they make up like 53-54% of the electorate in all the elections. Like they completely outvote men. They totally outvote men. So they not only are the majority of the population, but they take it a step further and they are more likely to show up at the election and vote. Like they are into it. They will vote. And yet, for some reason, a large percentage of our female population, I'm not going to say most, I don't know if that's necessarily true, but certainly a large percentage of them believe that they are a minority, that they are victims, that they are oppressed, by us, by the men, the minorities, that we in some way are doing something that's causing them to feel less than. And I, for the life of me, cannot figure this out, because we are living at a time when they have all the rights that we have. Like, there's no limitation in rights. They have all the political power in a government that allows them to exercise that power through the ballot box to elect the people that they want to have in power and make the laws that they would then support. And I mean, they basically could run the whole show. Like, they could completely shut us out. They could absolutely shut us out. But they don't. And they haven't. And they won't. Because I really do believe that for a certain segment of the population, being a victim and being seen as a victim is core to their identity. It's almost as strong as just being female. Like, being a victim, especially nowadays, gets all of the attention, especially from the Democratic Party, you know. And I'm not anti-Democratic Party at all. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm looking for, when I vote, I look for values. I look for character. And policy comes second, because policy always falls to the wayside. You know, once all the promises are made and the person gets elected, yeah, policy becomes it's another issue altogether. If you elect someone who doesn't have any character, it doesn't matter what their policy is. You know what I mean? They're going to lie to you and they're going to do whatever they want. But I digress. So I'm not anti-democratic. I'm not anti-Republican. I find it all fascinating that the Democratic Party has, for whatever reason, gone out of its way to turn victims into a constituency that they then represent. And I think this is a fatal flaw in their plan. This is not a good strategy, because most people don't appreciate victimization. Now, in a case where there's truly a victim, like when someone truly is a victim, man, we will all come to their help. You know, that's why we have GoFundMe pages and whenever there's a natural disaster or something, you know, the people that weren't affected will come and help the people that were. I mean, we as Americans will go out of our way to help people out when there is true need. When there is real need, we will do it. But when someone like Hannah is trying to figure herself out, and she wants to hold herself out And I'm sure, I looked at her, I didn't see her picture, but I saw the profile thing that she used, like a little icon. And it was two white people. It was like a white man and a white woman. So I'm assuming Hannah's white. I don't know for sure, but just based on our conversation, I'm thinking that Hannah is a young white woman living in the United States. And Hannah is probably living a fairly privileged life. Do you know what I mean? Hannah's probably got a lot of good stuff going on in her life. She just doesn't appreciate it very much. But for some reason, Hannah seems bound and determined to become a victim of misogyny. And she thinks that I am her oppressor. That I, as a man who makes jokes about women, am oppressing her to somehow make her life less valuable. Somehow turn her into something less than human. That I hate her. That I, in some way, have an aversion to her. Or that I am prejudiced against her. And Hannah, if you get the chance to watch this, and I certainly hope you do, I really do, I want you to know from my heart, I do not hate you, sweetie. I have no aversion against you. I would love to meet you in person. In fact, I'd love to take you out on a date sometime, maybe. You know, maybe we could go out for dinner sometime. But I'm not prejudiced against you. I think that you have all the rights in the world, and you should have all the rights in the world. You should be able to live your life any way that you want without anyone interfering in it. But when you behave like an idiot, expect to be held accountable. And that's the thing that women don't like. They don't want to be held accountable for their behaviors. I'm gonna get political here for a second. So, for a long time, for a very long time, if you were critical of the state of Israel, you were anti-Semitic. So everybody shut their mouths. Nobody wanted to be a Nazi. Nobody wanted to be anti-Semitic. Like, no, we're not that. But here recently, it seems like people are finally building up the courage to be critical of the policies of Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli state. It does not mean that anybody hates a Jew. It does not mean we're anti-Semitic. It does not mean we want to do anything evil to Jewish people. I have a Jewish sister. She converted to Judaism. I have a Jewish brother-in-law. I have nothing against Jewish people at all. I've dated Jews. I've had sex with Jews. I have no problem with Jews at all, honestly. But for a long time, the state of Israel held anti-Semitism out like a shield to protect themselves from criticism. And I think that women have the same approach to criticism as well. They want to hold sexism or misogyny out as a shield, and they want to be able to identify men as misogynists and that they are oppressing them in some way and that they are victims. And this whole victim mentality and this threat of misogyny is their shield against criticism for their bad behavior. And that is where Hannah doesn't understand what's actually happening here. Because my jokes and my conversations on this channel are not about hating women in any way, shape, or form. They are about calling out bad behavior. They are about identifying real life events in many cases of men who have been through really difficult times with women who, whether the men behave badly or not, you know, we can certainly argue about. But the women certainly behave badly as well. Like, they certainly had took some actions that were contrary to what anyone would call high character or high values. And then we can even, I think as a group, we can see when we identify patterns, and even psychologists and philosophers and lots of other people who have come before us have also identified some of these similar patterns. And we've been able to identify the differentiation between men and women in some of the ways that we behave. And there are some very distinctive differences between us. Not that those things make them bad or us good, they're just different. And we just need to know it. If we go around pretending that because we're all equal, that we're all the same, then we're never going to be able to have real healthy relationships because we're living a lie. We're living under this illusion that we're all exactly the same on the inside, but we're just different on the outside. And that is not the case at all. The psychology, the emotions, the hormones, the physiology of women is completely different from that of men. And this causes them to have different behaviors and different experiences. And to say that we're all the same is just ignorant. It's just ignorant. Anyway, back to Hannah. Hannah, I guess she got her definition of misogyny from Wikipedia, where it basically defines sexism, where anyone is critical of a woman. And if you're critical of a woman in any way, shape, or form, then you clearly are a misogynist. And Obviously, a woman wrote that definition, because that is not the case at all. The only way as a species, you know, human species, that we improve is if we can own our shortcomings. Because you can't fix something that you don't see. Do you know what I mean? We as men, we are aware in many cases of our shortcomings, at least as a group, maybe not as an individual, but generally speaking, we know what our shortcomings are. Women, however, for whatever reason, have been told that they don't have any shortcomings. And anyone that suggests that they do is clearly a misogynist. So, for us imperfect men living in this world of perfect women, I don't know what we're going to do to fix it, you know? How do we fix this situation if all the women are walking around thinking their shit don't stink, you know? Because that's where we're living, you know? If you even make a joke, I was watching Colbert this morning, and he made some kind of joke about how older women over age 30 were having more babies than younger women. And he said, oh, don't, he made a joke about not calling older women women over 30, because you get into big trouble. And even though it was a joke, there was a little bit of truth to that, you know what I mean? Just a teeny tiny little grain of truth to it. And it was like, okay, he definitely hit on something there. So Hannah and people like Hannah are out there with a chip on their shoulder, and they're looking to start a fight. And that's what Hannah really is. She's a bully. She doesn't realize she's a bully, but she is. She's got a chip on her shoulder, and she's going to use her victim mentality and her shield of oppression against me and men like me who make jokes and criticize women to prevent her from being accountable for the things that she says. And she thinks that she can cancel me, or she can Me Too me, or do something stupid like that. And this is what they do when they find men that stand up to them and want to hold them accountable for their behavior. Now, like I said, I love women. I have lots of women in my life. I have a mother, I have children, I have a sister, you know, I have girlfriends. I have lots and lots of friends, women. In fact, one of my closest friends is a woman who would probably be considered a radical feminist by most of you guys, you know, and she's one of my clients. She comes to my house a few times a week to work out, and we have a great time talking. Because we don't take a shit seriously, you know, we just laugh about it. We just laugh about it. She's a millennial, by the way. But these women like Hannah, who want to hold on to that victim mentality and use it as a shield against people to prevent them from holding her accountable, these women are going to learn eventually, sooner or later, they're going to come to the terms of society as a whole isn't going to put up with them anymore. You know, it's like people in the South using the N-word all the time. Eventually people said, you know something, that's not right. You can't call people that. You can't do that. And using the M-word, like a misogynist, to identify all men who disagree with you, it's not quite as bad, but it's along the same lines. It's along the same lines. Because you're just trying to label people as someone that are inferior to you intellectually. That's really what you're doing. You're calling them hate mongers. You're basically aligning them with people like Hitler, or with people that oppress populations. And that's just not the case at all, you know. Now, I'm not saying there aren't some misogynists out there who truly hate women, and I'm sure that there are guys like that, but they are a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of our population. They really are not that many of guys out there. Now, are there guys out there who are who have strong opinions, who are maybe a little bit sexist? Sure, absolutely. I think that sexism, that's a whole nother issue. But that's not the same as misogyny. Sexism is men believing that they are superior to women in certain ways. And I think, and I'm not going to make the argument here, but I think there's certainly an argument to be made that there are cases where sexism applies in both cases, you know, where women are better at certain things than men, and men are better than certain things than women. And the sooner we come to terms with that, I think the happier we're all going to be. But all right, you guys, I think I've said all I can say on this topic. If you like the video, please share it with someone if you think it's funny, if you got a kick out of it. Please like and subscribe, and remember to turn on notifications so that YouTube can show you this video again in the future. If you run into Hannah, you know, online, please send her my regards. If you know Hannah, I thought, and it's something along the lines of just figuring myself out 22. Maybe I'm wrong. It's something like that. But if you come across her, please send her my way. I would love to meet her in person. Maybe have her as a guest on the channel. Wouldn't that be fun? Anyway, till next time, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.